Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jam Vishnupada Paramahansa Paribhaja Gacharya Stavatara Sarashi Shimad Sranga Srila Bhakti Saranta Sarasati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Namacharya Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Premja Ghosh Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitya Ananda Shri Arvaita Garara Shri Vasari Gaurabhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopinath Shyama Kundara Rakundi Giri Govardhana Ki Jai. Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Shri Navrik Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Mathur Dham Ki Jai. Shri Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bhava Shama Veda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Shri Vrindavan Shri Gauranga. Rayanam namaskritam naram jayam dharuttaram devim sarasatim yasam tato jayam udirayat nastapreshu apadyeshu jam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati tamashroke bhakti bhavati aishtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 16th chapter, texts 53 and 54. Yata susupta purusho
Vishvam
pasyati chatmani
Vishvam
pasyati chatmani
Vishvam pasyati chatmani
Atmanam ekadeshe stam
Atmanam ekadeshe stam
Atmanam ekadeshe stam
Atmanam ekadeshe stam
Manyate svapna urtitaha
Manyate svapna urtitaha
Manyate svapna urtitaha
Manyate svapna urtitaha
Yata sushupta purusho
Yata sushupta purusho
Vishvam pasyati chatmani
Vishvam pasyati chatmani
Atmanam ekadeshastam
Atmanam ekadeshastam
Manyate svapna urtitaha
Yata
sushupta purusho Vishvam pasyati chatmani Vishvam pasyati chatmani Atmanam ekadeshyastam Manyate svapna utitaha
Yata
sushupta purusho
Vishvam
pasyati chatmani
Atmanam ekadeshastam
Atmanam ekadeshastam
Manyate svapna utitaha
Manyate svapna utitaha
Dasyukta purusho
Dasyukta purusho
Vishvam pasyati chatmani
Vishvam pasyati chatmani Atmanam ekadeshastam
Manyate svapna utitaha
Manyate svapna utitaha
Others? Anyone? Melody might sound a little bland, but Prabhupada taught this melody to the New Dwarka devotees at one time. It's very simple. So just go word for word. Just repeat after me. Yata, just as, sushuptaha, sleeping, purushaha, a person, vishvam, the whole universe, pashati, perceives. Sha, also. Atmani,
and
himself.
Atmanam,
himself. Ekadeshastam, lying down in one place. Manyate, he considers. Svapne, in the dreaming condition. Utitaha, waking up. Evam, in this way. jagarana adini, the state of wakefulness, and so on. Jivastanani, the living entities' different conditions of existence. Cha, also. Atmanaha, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maya matrani, the exhibitions of the illusory potency. The exhibitions of the illusory potency. Vigyaya, knowing. Tat, of them. Drashtaram, the creator or seer of all such conditions. The creator or seer of all such conditions. Param, the supreme. Smare, one should always remember. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees himself and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are very far away. Sometimes, when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself, in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. When a person, repeat, when a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, such as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes, when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming and wakefulness, are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Actually, this is for the two verses. None of these conditions of the living entities, namely deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness, is substantial. They are simply displays of various phases of conditional life. There may be many mountains, rivers, trees, bees, tigers, and snakes that are situated far away. But in a dream, one may imagine them to be nearby. Similarly, as one has subtle dreams at night, when the living entity is awake, he lives in gross dreams of nation, community, society, possessions, skyscrapers, bank balance, position, and honor. Under the circumstances, one should know that his position is due to his contact with the material world. One is situated in different positions in various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy, which works under the direction of the Supreme Personality and under the, are all but creations of the different positions of various forms of life that are all but creations of the illusory energy, but works under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is the ultimate actor. And the conditioned living entity should simply remember this original actor, Sri Krishna. As living entities, we are being carried away by the waves of prakriti, or nature, which works under the Lord's direction. Mayadakshena Prakriti Suyate Sacharachara. Bhakti Vinod Thakur sings Miche Mayara Vashe Yachabat Beshe Kachat Kubudu Bai. Why are you being carried away by the waves of the illusory energy in various phases of dreaming and wakefulness? They are all creations of Maya. Our only duty is to remember the supreme director of this illusory energy, Krishna. For us to do this, Shastra advises, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Aiva Kevalam. One should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The Supreme Lord is realized in three different phases as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. But Bhagavan is the ultimate realization. One who realizes Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the most perfect Mahatma, Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlabha. In the human form of life, one should understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then one will understand everything else. Yasmin vidyate sarvam evam vigyate bhavati. According to this Vedic injunction, simply by understanding Krishna, one understands Brahman, Paramatma, Prakriti, the illusory energy, the spiritual energy, and everything else. Everything will be revealed. Prakriti, the material energy, is working under the direction of the Supreme Lord, and we living entities are being carried away by various phases of Prakriti. For self-realization, one should always remember Krishna. As stated in Padma Purana, Smaratavya Satatam Vishnu, we should always remember Vishnu. Vishmartavya no Chatuchi, we should never forget the Lord. This is the perfection of life. Translation again of the two verses. When a person is in deep sleep, he dreams and sees in himself many other objects, and as great mountains and rivers, or perhaps even the entire universe, although they are far away. Sometimes when one awakens from a dream, he sees that he is in a human form, lying in his bed in one place. Then he sees himself in terms of various conditions, as belonging to a particular nationality, family, and so on. All the conditions of deep sleep, dreaming, and wakefulness are but energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should always remember the original creator of these conditions, the Supreme Lord, who is unaffected by them. The verse talks about different stages of consciousness. Whether we're in deep sleep or in a dreaming state or in the conscious state, sushupti being the deep sleep, svapna being the dreams, dreaming stage, jagarti or jagrati being the awakened state. In one sense, the whole existence that we live in is a kind of a dream state. Not false, but temporary or a dream state. Just as in a dream, there's wakefulness, and when awakens from a dream, it's obvious that the dream was a figment of the imagination. Some psychologists have said that the dreaming state, the svapna state, or the unconscious state, is reality. Dreams are actually a mixture of things that we have seen and things that we sort of imagine or make up. Just like sometimes we see a mountain, sometimes we've seen silver. So we can dream of a silver mountain by putting these things together. So the dream can be partly real and partly imaginary. It's not necessarily what actually exists. There are many stories that are made up in dreams, and sometimes it's said that inventors, people that invent things, dream up these things. They in the dream state they are able to invent things that work. Once Prabhupada was talking about dreams, and he said that when we dream of Krishna and the spiritual master, such things are real, although other things may not be real. Sometimes Prabhupada said that he dreamed that he was being eaten by a tiger. So there are sometimes, everyone experiences nightmares and maybe daymares. But dreams of Krishna are supposed to be reality. And in this is a book called Tattva Sandarbha, where a dream is described. Tattva Sandarbha is a book that was written by Jiva Goswami. Jiva Goswami was described by this School of Oriental and African Studies division of London University as being the greatest philosopher in the world. That means he transcended Socrates and Aristotle and many other philosophers. So I'm going to read a section about Jiva Goswami, about some dreams that he was said to have had. This is a sketch of the life of Srila Jiva Goswami from the Bhakti Ratnakara of Narahari Chakravarti. And in it, he tells about these specific dreams. Before we get to the dream state, he says, Sri Jiva was thinking all the time, how long will it be until I can leave home? On one occasion, he was sitting alone at dusk, chanting Nama Sankirtan with tears flooding his eyes. He tried to keep himself sober, but could not. He raised his arms and repeatedly cried, O Lord, Sri Chaitanya and Nityananda, O ocean of mercy, Sri Advaita Chandra, Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda, O merciful dear associates of Lord Chaitanya, please accept as the recipient of your kindness this most fallen soul. Saying this, his voice choked up. That night, he had difficulty falling asleep. But the merciful Lord finally imposed deep sleep on him and showed him a dream. In that dream, Srila Jiva Goswami saw Lord Chaitanya with his associates, just as he had seen them in Ramakeli. They were in the midst of a loud chanting party in which Lord Chaitanya was dancing. The ecstatic love that was being expressed in that Sankirtan maddened the whole world. And millions of people ran from all sides to watch. The earth and sky were filled with reverberations of Hari, Hari. Then Lord Chaitanya and his party suddenly disappeared, and Sri Jiva Goswami's dream broke, leaving his heart distressed. Still allured him again by sleep, he saw a second, even more amazing dream. In this dream, in his earlier childhood, Sri Jiva paid no attention to games that had no connection with childhood. He made, this apparently is not the dream, but it was mentioned that it was a dream. He made for himself deities of Krishna and Balaram and began to worship them with flowers, sandalwood paste, and other offerings. He dressed the deities splendidly with varieties of ornaments and would gaze at them with unblinking eyes, joy stirring in his heart. To offer them respects, he would fall flat like a golden doll, muddying the ground with his tears. With great care, he would prepare sweets for his deities and enjoy. And after they had eaten, he would distribute the remnants to the neighboring boys. Nothing pleased him like serving Krishna and Balaram. He would take both of them to bed with him at night. And when his parents playfully tried to take deities out of his bed, he would not let them. Now, in the second dream, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda showed themselves as the deities of Krishna and Balaram, the total embodiments of bliss in their dark blue and white forms. The wonderful way they were dressed put Cupid to shame, and the way their limbs were inclined drove the three worlds mad. And then, in front of Sri Jiva, in his dream, the two changed their complexions to the color of gold, glimmering more brilliantly than gold itself. The aroma from their bodies permeated the universe. Sri Jiva was astonished, not allowing his eyelids to cover his eyes, which overflowed with tears. He threw himself down at the Lord's feet, and Sri Gauranga and Nityananda Roy, the great oceans of compassion, put their feet on Jiva's head. They then embraced him, addressing him lovingly. Lord Chaitanya presented Sri Jiva as a gift at the feet of Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda told Sri Jiva more than once, may this Lord of mine be your life and soul. Sri Jiva once more bowed down to the two, who then disappeared, leaving him in a wild state of mind from which he awoke in the middle of the night. That's the end of his second dream. When one is completely or fully Krishna conscious, according to things that have been said in Prabhupada's lectures, one dreams of Krishna constantly and dreams of the spiritual master and Krishna. So in the awakened state, one can have daydreams, and in the nighttime, one can have night dreams. That one is fully Krishna conscious, one dreams about Krishna and the spiritual master and advances in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada said that all the books that were written by the six Goswamis, Jiva and Rupa and others, would be translated and read. And this is one of the first, if not the first, translation made by a Vaishnava devotee of works of Sanatana Jiva Goswami and Rupa Goswami, although Prabhupada himself translated the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Rupa Goswami into the Nectar of Devotion. So these books are all very important and they're very deep. It is said that Jiva Goswami himself wrote 400,000 Sanskrit verses, and each verse is kind of like a little poem, a three or four or two or four line poem. So each of course I don't know the Sanskrit language very well, but they not only rhyme, but they have a certain meter and a certain meaning, to inner deeper meanings. Sometimes they're written allegorically, and sometimes they're written figuratively, so that they have several layers of meaning, each verse. So Jiva Goswami was a great philosopher, not only a great philosopher, but a great poet. He wrote books and poems and many other teachings and writings that were honored and read by many people for years afterwards. So to dream at night and dream during the day, and to know that the material world is kind of a dream, is a sign of advancement in Krishna consciousness. The material world is, in fact, sort of like a dream. According to the Padma Purana, the material creation is only 1/4 of the whole creation, and 3/4 of the creation are spiritual, or the spiritual world. And there's a constant flow, somehow, mysteriously, inconceivably, from the spiritual world to the material world. But the real world, the world that all devotees aspire to, is the spiritual world, or the 3/4 of the creation, which is made by Krishna. Everything is actually the province or the manufacture of Krishna. So there, in one sense, is nothing material. As Krishna mentions in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Bhumir Apo Nalovayu, even stone, rock, water, and all things are permeated by the energies of Krishna. They're actually all created by Krishna. So there's nothing that is totally material. Everything is actually planets, earth, water, fire, air, is all created by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's nothing that is not Krishna. So even little children who understand or grow up in Vaishnava communities understand that rocks and earth and water and fire and air are all creations of the Lord, and nothing is actually separate from Him. As He says, as quoted in this purport, Suyate Sacharacharam, Mayadakshena Pakriti Suyate Sacharacharam. Everything, even the nature as we see it, is acting under the direction of Krishna. Great writers and great composers and great artists all sometimes said they learned from nature, but nature is actually created and supervised by the energy of Krishna. Just as we see that there is light in the sun, the sun or the effulgence that this is coming from Krishna. Just as the sky is hued bluish, that is called the Brahma Jyoti, and that's an emanation of Krishna's effulgence, the bluish color. So these are some of the manifestations of Krishna in his spiritual and material forms. Krishna does have a material form sometimes. But Krishna is worshipped in the temple as he not only, the deities are not only symbolic, they're not really symbolic of Krishna. Krishna manifests himself in the deity forms of Krishna, Krishna Chaitanya Nitai, and Krishna Balaram. Krishna is actually present. So that is the state of complete awakeness, to see that Krishna is everywhere and in everything, including in the deity and the temple. So if anyone has any comments or questions, now's the time to ask. Yes?
Without everybody in the material world sees Krishna in everything, is the experience different to the experience of actually being in the spiritual world as opposed to seeing Krishna in the material world?
There's a stage that's written in Prabhupada's books, and in these books, as Jivan Mukta, means that one can be liberated fully within the material world. So one can see Krishna as fully self-realized souls have done, even while in the material world. So for perfectly Krishna conscious people, there is no difference. But for neophytes like us, there is a great difference, a gulf of difference. Yes?
I've heard that mountains and rocks and also living entities. Is that true?
I've heard this too, that certain things, especially mountains, that there's a jiva in a mountain, sometimes mountains move, and that they are living entities too, and that jewels that shine because they have a certain effulgence, that they're also inhabited by jivas or living entities. It's very difficult to understand, but that's been written and it's been said by Prabhupada. Anything else? One thing I was going to say is that there's a phenomenon called stem cell research in which artificial, for example, meat of beef and chicken has been made. Cells, parts of cells are taken out of living cows or chickens and mixed with other ingredients and avoiding slaughter of thousands and thousands of chickens and cows, people have come up with artificial meat and chicken meat. There's a company in Los Angeles. It's in the Los Angeles area. It's not right in Los Angeles, but I read about it that uses only peas and soya. So although the jiva, the living entity, is involved a little bit, it's a very dim form of consciousness when we compared to the consciousness that a jiva has a brain, a human jiva has a brain and a digestive system and very sensitive skin, whereas soy products and things like peas have a very limited kind of consciousness. But this company that I read about is selling this kind of analog or simulated chicken meat in strips, and they've devised a way to make the strips taste exactly and have the same texture as chicken meat. And from what I've read, they're working on a beef simulation or analog at the moment. I think it was Winston Churchill that wrote about in the 1950s or 1960s about artificial food. He wasn't talking about artificial meat necessarily, but he was saying that artificial food would be created in laboratories, and one would not be able to, it would be so much like the real thing that people wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And it's gradually starting to become true. And it's in the good side of it is that it's a way to avoid mass animal slaughter. The bad side is that this artificial food would have a lot of toxic chemicals in it. Would probably not be very good for you. But it's worth a try. Anyway, I'm going to try it when it comes out. Well, at least once. Anything else? No? Hands raised? Yes? All right, Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhaktam ki jai. By the way, I got this book in Mayapur. I don't know if it's being sold in the bookshop, but it's a very interesting book, Tattva Samhara. It's published in India, printed in India. And publishing. Is like Giriraj Publishing? Pardon? It was translated by both Australia? Okay. Printed in India. Good binding, good paper. I don't know. So maybe that's another volume of the same book. Continue. Oh, that's good. This would be a very good thing to have in a bookshop. Someone sent me this. But if but people like to have printed copies, they sit in a folding chair and take them to the room. But you can get it on the internet. The whole thing. It doesn't say on the front. Also, it has his other books.
Are you going to try this today?
It talks about him quite a bit. Yeah, I think it's got to be one really long. Yeah, there's a whole forward that talks about him. Yeah, there's a whole forward that just talks about, not just about him. It talks about his past life and you know, how he got qualified. I think that was sent by someone named John. Yeah, he was in his class. Oh, really? It is. I think he wrote some books of poetry, which were referred to in the preface of one. On the other side I saw this notice on a board, on a bulletin board at the London University, the School of African Arts. That's a beautiful song of the greatest philosophy in the world. We should have taken a picture. But, you know, I mean, we always think of, when we think of philosophers, we think of Socrates or some of the Greek philosophers. But actually, he was more voluminous. And there's this story about this scholar that came to the gate. About Rupa Goswami, for example, and Rupa Goswami thought he was so material that he wanted to get rid of him, so he just gave him a paper saying that he was defeated. But Rupa Goswami saw the scholar exit with this piece of paper, and he asked him, "What is this paper?" He said, "Well, this your uncle has said that I defeated him." He said, "So let us engage in a debate right now." And he defeated the scholar. Rupa Goswami defeated the scholar. Yeah, he chastised him for debating, for taking the time. Is that what Jiva did after that? That's mentioned in that book. I don't know if it was an alligator. It was after that story that mentioned that he was found almost dead from malnutrition. Very sorry. So what brings you to the temple this morning? Mm-hmm. Every other Thursday. Jordan is here because he gets his dialysis twice a week and he does it at the hospital. He doesn't do it at home. He needed more of it. Anyway, I'm going to go through this. Just open well a little at some point. getting up is a lot harder than getting down. So I'm going to try to do it. They should say that this is what they want on the cover, really.
So maybe it's
Done. Maybe it's.